All right, you can find your place and stand up. Everybody say good morning. Good morning to you too. Thank you for saying it to me. We're doing another little series called Running with the Giants, and we've enjoyed the theology or the concept of it was that if those that had gone before us could come out of the stands and run one lap with us, what advice would they give us? And just encouraging to us and what the Lord would say to us. Today we're going to talk about Gideon, but we'll read it. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's everybody out of chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders. The Bible acknowledges there are hindrances in our, that can come in our life, and sins, and really the sin that every one of us have, a particular sin that's worse than, it hits us more than others, so that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race, run the race, marked out for us. Hebrews 11, what more shall I say, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Today we're going to talk about Gideon, this running with the giants, I think number 6. Gideon's coming out of the stands today to run a race and run a lap with us. What would he say? Father, we open our hearts to you afresh and new today one more time. We want to know of your ways, not just your acts. Would you teach us, Lord, that we can run in your commandments? Would you enlarge our hearts? Would you get it beyond our head, Lord, to where it becomes truth to our inner being, that it become a freedom to us? And, Lord, that we, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we ask you, Lord, to be free in you. Would you take away all the lies the enemy has thrown in our hearts? Would you take away the deception that's blinded us, Lord? We don't even know it today. Would you open our eyes, Lord? Would you open us that we can see the wonders of your truth and the wonders of your way? We ask that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, let's give Lord one more good clap offering today. Would you do that? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. What would Gideon say if Gideon were out of the stands today, take a lap with us, put his tennis shoes on, and then start running one of the laps with us while we're running our race for the Lord? From his vantage point, from what he would say, and I believe it would be this, and I'll just send a capsule, then we'll enlarge it, is he would come to us and say, you've got to understand your weakness of your life. We like to concentrate on our strength. But Gideon would come and say, listen, your weakness, God's strength. Let's say it another way. Say it this way. Your weakness is the key to unlocking God's strength in your life. All of us like to acknowledge our strengths, what we're good at. But Gideon now would run the lap with us. He would tell you, your weakness is the key. Everybody say key. If you mishandle the key, it will limit you. But your weakness being the key is the key to unlocking the power or the strength of God in your life. And your confidence, and now listen to this very carefully, your confidence or lack thereof will always find its roots in how you handle the key. The key being your weakness. So your confidence or your lack thereof will always find its roots in how you handle that key. What's the key? Your weakness. It'll limit you. Your weakness will either will stay magnified in your eyes to where all you ever think about is your weakness. All you ever think about is what you're lacking. All you'll ever think about is what's missing. All you'll ever think about is what diminished. All you'll ever be thinking about is your weakness. If you do that, then what happens is it erodes your confidence. And as long as you're focused on it instead of the strength of God, it's meant to unleash. Your weakness was always meant to unleash God's power or God's strength in your life. That's why he put it there. That's why he established. That's why he made you like you are. Most of you are not like Fonzie. You do not go to the mirror and go. Most of you go to the mirror and you look. You never say it. But you think sometimes, God, were you busy that day? Did you make me? Were you distracted that day? Then that's a Gideon. And here's a lesson in Gideon's life. Judges chapter 7. Watch this. But God, I'm sorry. Yeah, go on to. I didn't read the Corinthians, did I? Let's read Corinthians. Hear what Paul said. Thank you. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the what? Everybody say the next word. The weak. The weak things of the world to shame the things which are what? Strong. What are you doing, God? I am purposely choosing people that have weaknesses in their life so that I can unleash my power in their life. And here's the reason why. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not so that he may nullify the things that are. That no man may what? Nobody can boast, say, I did it myself. This is my own strength, my own power, my own knowledge, my own ability. I did it myself. Go to the next one. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who what? Boast, do what? God did it. God, I didn't do it. God did it. I'm not smart enough, never was, never will be. God gave me the wisdom. God gave me the ideas. See, you never misplace where it came from. You never misplace the credit. You never take it on yourself. You might say, yeah, but really, you never inside really think, well, really, it was really me. But you come to the place where you believe it was God. You boast, he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Now, here's what Gideon says. Here's the life of Gideon. Go on to the next one. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. Now, let me just start here. The whole story here was this. The people with you are too many for me to give Midian into your hands, for Israel would become what? They would become what? What do you boast? They would become boastful, saying, I've done it myself. My own power delivered me. My own ingenuity, my own smartness, my own strength, my own hard work, my own ability to fight, my own... If I gave them into your... Now, let me just tell you where we're at now, because you need to understand this. Here's the story, and the whole purpose of this story is God never wants you to get to the place in your life where you think you did it yourself. And the whole purpose of what God's doing now in Israel, right, with this group, is that they would never think what happens, they did it themselves. Their fighting ability, their numbers, their whatever. It was not their ability. And so God's going to do something now to bring them to the place that when they do boast, it was God that did it. Wasn't me, wasn't my ability, it was God. Here's what he does. Therefore, come, proclaim the hearing of the people. Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return, depart from Gilead. 22,000 people leave. Out of 32,000, 22,000. I mean, one left, then another one left, and then the herd started going, shoom, shoom. It went from 32,000 to 10,000 men. All right, look at this. The Lord said, not ready yet. He said, I want you to do another thing. You know, he gets them to go drink water. He said, let me separate the ones that drink a certain way from the ones that don't drink a certain way. And 9,700 people drank one way, and 300 of them drank another way. And he was left with how many? Now, let me tell you how many the enemy were. Because you think it must have been near, it must have been the beginning. It must have been pretty much even. Must have been, you know, 30, Gideon had 32,000. There must have been like 30,000 or 40,000 the enemy. And that's why God said that. Let me show you what it was. Go to the next scripture. Go on. Go on again. We're going past all that. All right. Go on one more time. We got down to 300. We passed that. Now go to the next one. All right. Now watch this. Here's how many of the enemy there were. Zeba and Zumla were in Karkor. I don't know why they were there, but that's where they were. And all the armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of the entire army of the sons of the east. For the fallen were how many? 120,000. This is the end of the story after all the fighting. God did what he did. But at the beginning, that means 120 plus 15 is how much? 135,000 Midianites. There were 100. Listen, when Gideon's sitting there with 32,000 men, he looks out on his enemy who he's about to fight, and there's 135,000 enemy. And God comes to Gideon. Gideon, have you seen the ratio? Have you seen how? Do you know what the ratio is? Don't put it up yet. I'll do it in just a second. Do you know what the ratio is when you got 32,000 men and your enemy's got 130? Guess what the ratio is on that. Somebody do the math real fast. About 4 to one. God comes to Gideon. Gideon, have you seen the ratio? Yes, God, I've been praying about this. I'm glad you finally see the problem. I'm outnumbered 4-1. Yeah, I've been noticing that. I watched that. That's a problem. That's a problem. Yes, God, I've been praying, asking you, help, help, help. You know what God does? He changes the odds. Everybody say amen. Amen. He changed from 4-1 to 450-1. Put the math up there. 135,000 to 300. The odds of that is 450-1. Anybody here feel like the odds are stacked against you? Anybody here this morning feel like you're on the short end of the stick? Anybody here feel like you've been praying until God and God came on the scene and said, oh yeah, I see the problem. It's 4-1. I know the problem. And next thing you know, you look out and it's God orchestrates it and his hand's in it. And next thing you know, the odds have changed from 4-1 to 450-1. I'm going to say thank you, God. Would you say thank you, God? Let me show you this in the New Testament in a different way. When the Lord orchestrates things, he does it many times to relieve all the boasting of man, to where when you know what happens, can only be God can do it. There's no way we could win. I mean, every man would have to kill 450 of the Midianites for us to win. Listen, you know the end of the story. It's easy to sit there and say, well, yeah, you be Gideon with 300 men, and you're outnumbered 450-1. You got four. Now, see, you know your story. You know where you are this morning. You don't know the outcome yet. That's where Gideon was with his 300 men, and he's outnumbered 450-1. And there's some of you here this morning, that's where you feel like. You feel like that literally when God came on the scene, God told you, I'll do something about this 4-1 problem. And next thing you know, you're now at 450-1. Look what it says in Revelation. Everybody say, wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Wake up. Little said, wake up. Here's what the Lord is saying. Listen, wake up. The word wake up means to arouse something that is at the point of death. Wake up, because what was there was all he had was a little bit left. Wake up. Maybe your marriage is about gone. Wake it up. Maybe your business, maybe your schooling, maybe a relationship, maybe your mind, maybe your ministry, whatever. He says, wake, everybody say, wake up. It means to arouse it. I remember I was building a house one time, and I'll never forget this, that I went over, we started a fire in the wintertime, it was cold, and we had vacation, had holidays, and I remember 3 days later, we'd put the fire out. 3 days later, I came back to check on the house, and I remember I walked over there, and there, where the burn pile was, we'd put it out and put water on and all that. I kicked it, and when I kicked it underneath, there was embers still there. They were still burning. There was a little bit of fire. Come on, somebody. There was a little bit of fire there I didn't know about. And some of you got a little bit of fire left in you that the devil doesn't know about. Deep down inside, there's a little bit of... Look what Paul told Timothy about. He said it this way. For this reason, I remind you to do what? Kindle afresh. That means whatever it is you've got in you, Timothy, you may have diminished a little bit, but I want you to kindle afresh the gift that is in you. You may not be everything it used to be, but if you will kindle that thing again, get the fire going again. There may be a little bit of ember, a little bit less, a little kick in you that nobody else knew about. The devil didn't know when he left you, but there's a little bit of ember in that situation, and I can renew that. I can wake it back up. Listen, the Bible says awake it, strengthen it. Revelation 3 says awake and then strengthen the things that remain. Wake up, and everybody say the word strengthen, would you? The things that remain. That meant you may have had 32,000 to start with, but all that's remaining now is 300. You had a big, and it was bad enough to begin with, but now it's down to where the odds are incredible. You were at one point where you were behind, but now it's come to the place where it's so far, the odds are so bad against you that if anything happens, there'll be no misplacing of credit in your life. You'll say, God Almighty and God Almighty alone brought me through. Come on, somebody. And you know what the word strengthened means? It means this: to solidify, to establish, to take something that is weakened and build it back up. What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks? You bury it? Absolutely not. You resurrect it. You build it back up. You solidify it. You strengthen it. What if your job, you strengthen the little bit that remains? You used to have 32,000. Now you've only got 300. You strengthen that 300. Listen, your miracle is not in what you lost. Your miracle is in what you have left. Your miracle's not in the 31,700. Your miracle's in the 300. Don't become fixated on what you've lost. Some people, all they think about is how much they lost, how much they could have had, how much they would, business I could have had. Strengthen what remains. Begin to strengthen it. Begin to solidify it. Begin to bring it back up. Do not become fixated on what you've lost. I remember one time many years ago, back in the 70s, we had a couple, and they had twin boys, and they were going to be born, and one of the boys ended up being born, stillborn, and one of them lived. And I remember the wisdom of these parents. We were sitting there talking, and they said this to me. They said, you know, we know the lesson, that we're not going to become fixated on what we lost. I told them, here's what we do. We need to name. You need to name that boy. And we did a whole funeral. We did everything. We brought him to the Lord, did it all. And I said, now what you need to do is, do not come fixated on what you've lost. Look what you've got. You've got a boy. You've got a strong. Don't become fixated on what you lost. Grieve and go through the grieving process and do all that. But don't become fixated on what you've lost. So many people just fixate on what they've lost. What's behind them, what they lose. And they lose the fact they live in either yesterday or tomorrow. They never enjoy today, what the Lord has done today. So the Bible says this: solidify, wake up, arouse yourself, and solidify and strengthen the things that remain. Look what Zechariah said in chapter 4. This is a word to Zerubbabel saying, and this was in the Old Testament, you had these minor prophets, and a number of them were like cheerleaders. And what they were is, there was a time when Israel went away from God and God allowed the nations of the world come in and destroy Israel. The temple was torn down and burnt. The city was torn down and burnt. There wasn't a house left. When you walked up to Israel, up to Mount Zion, it was just rubbles and stones everywhere. And about 70 years later, God sends back a remnant that willing to go leave Babylon, which was a gorgeous city, and leave there and go back to the land of Israel, which was devastated. And when they went back there, they had enemies and they got discouraged. And what God did was, God sent like cheerleaders. I always think these guys are like cheerleaders. They come on the scene like Ezra and Haggai and all these other. And they began to encourage Zechariah. They began to encourage the people to keep building, doing it for God. But I want you to notice what's said here. Here's one of them. Zechariah comes on the scene now. They're starting to build. He says, this is a word to Zerubbabel, who was one of the leaders. Not by might, singular in the Hebrew, not by power, plural in the Hebrew, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. For who has despised the day of small things? The only reason he would say that is because somebody was despising the day. Man, look at this. Look what we're a part of now. Look at this. Look at your marriage. Look at your business. Look at your school. Look at your relationship. Look at your ministry. Look at your life. And there can be this despising of what it is. And the prophet comes on the scene and he tells them, stop that despising of small things. Stop that relating back. It's like this. You ever gone back to your home house where you grew up? You ever gone back there and when you saw it, you said, are you sure this, something must have shrunk? It's not, because in your mind it was bigger and greater. And you can go back and look at what you've got now and you can despise it. So Zechariah comes and here's how it is in Ezra. Ezra says it this way. Watch this. Now, when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph. And what they did was they came back, and the first thing they built was not their own houses. They said, the first thing we need to build is a house of God. So they go and they pour a foundation where the old temple of Solomon's was. Solomon's temple, remember, was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. The temple of Solomon was unbelievable. I mean, the rocks and the stones they had in it would gleam different colors as the sun would rise, and it was unbelievable. The Bible says when the queen of came over that her breath was taken away. When the queen of Sheba saw it, all that happened. And then when Solomon dedicated that temple, the Bible says the Spirit of God came in, and everybody was slain in the Spirit. Nobody could stand up. And now, years later, 70-some years later, they're pouring this little bitty foundation. And the Bible says these young guys are having, watch this. The foundation of the temple, they sang praise and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, He's good, His loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet, everybody say yet. Same word as but. Many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the father's household, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, with many shouted aloud for joy. The people couldn't tell the difference between those shouting and those crying. Let me tell you something about your memory. The older I get, the less I trust my memory. A short pencil is better than a long memory any day, is that right? And we can begin to think about those good old days. How good that other church was when I was growing up. How good that other family was growing up. How good this was growing up. And your memory can play tricks on you. How many have understood that your memory can be selective? How many know the good old days, some of them are rotten to the core? How many remember that? Some of them are bad. How many are glad you don't wake up on the floor anymore? Where you don't know where you are. Come on, somebody. Well, watch this. One time Israel did this. Israel was like this one time. And they got mad at Moses when they were in the wilderness. And listen to what it says. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. Also the sons of Israel wept again and said, Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt and the cucumbers. Man, it was free. Man, all we had to do is go down and throw a hook in the Nile River. You got your fish free. Now we're out in the wilderness and all we're eating is manna. Then he says, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, man, eating out in style, bad breath. And now our appetite is gone. There's nothing to hear but look at but manna in the morning, manna in the evening, and manna at night. How many of they forgot about the back-breaking slave work they did? How many remember they're not calling about it? Remember when the taskmasters beat us and took away the straw? We had to make bricks. We worked from the day the sun came up to the time the sun went down, and we got killed. They wanted to kill us. How many know they don't bring it up at all? Because it was the good old days. The good old days. You know, back and eat the good old days. And if you're not careful, you will live in the past in some make-believe world and never enjoy your right here and right now. Stop focusing and fixation on the past, the years you've lost. Live your time right now. And it's the little things that make life great. It's the little bitty everyday things you do together. It's the giving, the loving, the caring, the forgiving. Yesterday I was mean to Jasmine. I had to go ask her to forgive me. Right. I was just ornery as a skunk yesterday. Anybody here been ornery as a skunk sometimes? Had to get up and go say, forgive me. Come on, somebody. Wow, that's life. Okay. Thank you. I know I'm a hero. I don't understand that. Let's get right on. All right, look what Haggai says. On the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai. Here's another cheerleader. He's standing around that foundation too. He's sitting there. He's watching half of them cry, half of them shout for joy. The ones shouting for joy had never seen anything in their life. They think it's the greatest thing ever happened, you know, since Friday, since sliced toast. They're looking at this stuff. I mean, and these old guys that saw Solomon's temple, man, ain't nothing. Now, what is this? Ain't nothing. I mean, you all seen Solomon's temple. Ain't nothing in comparison. It was this. Speak down to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is up among you who saw this temple in its former glory? How do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing? See, if you get fixated on your past, your present will seem like nothing in comparison to it. But your memory is deceptive. It's not real. It's not true, all that stuff. You had a bad day. You had all that. You struggled. Live your life now. See the glory of God now, what God's doing in your life. And it says, does it not seem like you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, declares the Lord Zerubbabel. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. The high priest and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made for you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not cry. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. Haggai is standing there, this little bitty foundation on the side of Mount Zion. And he says, the Lord says today, those of you that are weeping and remembering your memory, you're remembering Solomon's temple and the glory of God and everybody falling down. I tell you, the Haggai says, the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of what you're trying to remember in your past. You know what that is? That little foundation they poured was the very foundation that Herod the Great would build the temple around. Erect the temple, Herod's temple as we call it. And what would happen would be this. 30, 40 years into it, around 30 A.D., there would be something would have already happened in the world, and it's this, that the God of this universe would come down, step down from star to star, wrap himself in a body of flesh, become Jesus the Messiah, God, outwardly a Jew, inwardly Jehovah. It was deity wrapped in humanity. And he would come walking in there. And the Bible says he would come and his very feet, the God of the universe, his very feet would stand and walk on that little foundation they had poured that day. Come on, somebody. And he would stand and say, there is a greater than Solomon on this earth. Let me tell you something. When you're building and your memory's trying to make you think what you're doing now is worthless and little and not counting, you just let the Lord speak to you and say, the glory of what you're doing now, you've got better days ahead than what's behind you. The glory, listen, you've not finished. You're not done yet. You've got to stop. Listen, strengthen the things that remain. Take up the things that are there. Do not let your memory begin to tear it down. See, the miracle is not in what you lost. The miracle is in what you have left. The miracle is not in the 31,700. The miracle is in the 300. See, God did not want you to win when the odds were 4-1. Because you might have a tendency to think, yeah, I'll praise God. God did it. Praise God. But when you got the odds at 450-1, it was God. Nah, it was God. It's God. Only God could do. Only God. And you know that you know. You don't pretend. You don't act the part. God did it. But back deep inside, you know, I'm pretty smart. Pretty hard worker. Pretty. When it's 450-1, no matter how hard you work, no matter how good looking you are, no matter how smart you are, when it's 450-1 and you come out of it a winner, it was God. Come on, give a good clap off for them when you say that. Strengthen the thing. Wake up and strengthen the things that are about to die. Musicians, come on up if you would. Strengthen the things which are about to die. Maybe your anointing, maybe your relationship, maybe your calling, your marriage, your finances, whatever it may be. Major on the fact. Listen, major on the fact that your glass is half full. Major on the fact that thorns, isn't it great, isn't it fantastic that thorns have roses? Isn't it fantastic that thorns have roses? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, here's some old ugly thorn, and it has roses. I mean, it's unbelievable. Fantastic. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's, focus on what the Lord is. You know what Paul wrote in Philippians? Listen, your miracle is not what you lost, it's what you have left. Although I myself may have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I could boast in the flesh. He says, anybody else here pretty smart? He said, I can boast with you. He said, anybody in here really, really, really got it all together? I mean, really sharp, like attack, can know how to maneuver and do things and do this and do that. Paul said, anybody here can boast in the flesh? I could do it too. He said, let me tell you where I'm at. He said, let's just put our qualifications, just put them side by side. Go ahead and list all yours down, your accomplishments and your education, your abilities, and all, just, he said, let's just do it. Anybody else? Anybody here want to? He said, let's play the game, he said. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of the Israel. I'm a tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, as of the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as what? Yeah, God took all that away from me. See, he said, God made me a God. See, all that stuff, he said, you would think that I would be then really useful among the Jews. But he didn't. God made me the apostle to the Gentiles. And all that criteria and all that stuff I had, doesn't mean a hill. What it means to a Gentile? He don't care. He don't care if I'm a Hebrew. What are you, a Hebrew of what? What's a Pharisee? Oh, you're blameless of law. What's the law? All these Gentiles, they never heard any of this stuff. So all that resume he had, just wiped away. He said, I count it all. It's all lost. I had 32,000. Now all I got is about 300 left. The odds were 4-1 to start with. Now, for me to win anything among the Gentiles, that's like 450-1. Counted all as loss. And I've counted as loss. He said, more than that, I count all things to be lost. In the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss. Everybody say the loss. And he said, to tell you the truth, I'm not moaning them. I'm not sitting there bemoaning myself. Oh, man, that certificate on the wall I had and that place I had of authority and of prestige and all that. He said, honestly, he said, I'm not bemoaning any of it. That $31,700 I lost, he said, I count it as rubbish. Everybody, come on, somebody. He said, I count it as refuse. I won't even say what the real word means, but I just count it as rubbish. But I may know him. Because I'm living the life. I'm living the dream. I am living the dream. I could go back and remember my past and think about all I could have been, could have done. He said, all that stuff, I just counted. I'm living the dream now. I'm living my life. He said, listen, the glory of my latter days will be greater than the glory of my former days. I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream with God. It's right now. It's here. I don't have to think about what it could have been, might have been. He said, I am living the dream. I'm living the dream. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, listen, I don't know where you're at this morning. But the Lord gave me this. I want everybody to stand up. Would you stand up this morning? The Lord gave me a word. I gave it the first service. I'll give it now again. That some of you here this morning, in your pocketbooks, and in your wallets, and whatever else you may be carrying, I don't know. You've got a letter. You've got a picture. You've got an object. You've got something in it that is something. I want you to close your eyes and listen to this. You've got something in it that's either a Dear John letter, a doctor's report, a picture of someone. And literally, you're at a place where, you know, you've lost so much. And maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a business, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a ministry, maybe whatever it may be. But see, the devil thought it was over. The devil really thought he destroyed it completely. But this morning, the Lord said, listen, like that fire at that house I was building, he didn't know there was a little bit of ember still underneath there. It was still a little bit of kick there. As long as you got a little bit of want to, as long as you got a little bit of desire left in there, wake up. Strengthen the things that remain. Because that's where your miracle is. Your miracle is not in sitting there all day long and bemoaning what you've lost and what you've lost and what you've lost and how far you've come down and what you've lost and what you've lost. But your miracle is understanding what you have. Strengthen what you have. Get a hold of it. Strengthen it, what you've got. Your relationship with your kids. They may have told you that they hated you. But listen, take what's left. They may have walked out. Take what's left. Take what's remaining and strengthen it up. And bring it. This morning I want you, whatever it is you've got, maybe it's a picture in your mind. Maybe it's something. I'm going to open the altars up this morning. Here's where we go. We're going to worship God. But I want you to come down. I want you to bring it before the Lord. Pick that picture. Bring that mind. Bring that marriage. Bring that business. Bring whatever it is. We're going to lay them before the Lord this morning and just believe God. And God gave me a word. There would be miracles that God began to anoint. And God would strengthen and God would help you strengthen the things that remain. Come on, let's begin to say, you there, come on down this morning. Let God begin to do it. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering one more time, would you? Come on, you walk out. Get out of the aisle. Come on. You're holy. Come on, step out of the aisle. Come on down. Let the Lord begin to do in your life. Never before. Oh my. Come on, you need the Lord to do it. Come on. Come on, take your hand. Take the hand of the one beside you. Come on down. Strengthen the things that remain. Love. Come on, altar workers. Come on, altar workers. Come on and pray. Oh, worship His holy name. Come on, you may need. Come on. You come on down. Lay them before the Lord. Worship His holy name. God, we love You. Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before, oh my soul. Father, we'll worship. Come on, sing it again. Come on. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Come on.
Sing like never before.
Oh my soul. Come on, lift it up. Come on. Come on, sing the verse now, with the day.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to
come on. He is,
your
He is.
Is great, and your heart is kind.
Yes, it is. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands to the Lord. Tell Him, yes, Lord. Come on.
10,000
come on, sing it. Say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my
soul,
worship
His
holy name. Keep singing.
Day. has come.
Lord,
still
my
soul will sing your praise.
Come on, lift your voice one more time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul.
Says his holy name.
Oh, Lord.
Sing like never before.
Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Come on, sing it again. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul.
I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul,
I will
worship his holy name.
I'm gonna worship. I will worship his holy name, yeah, yeah. I will worship his holy name. Father, we repent of all the boasting we've ever done, outwardly or inwardly, that we really did it. Everything I have, Lord, I do not, as if I didn't receive it. I received it, Lord. You gave me the strength. You brought me into this world. I never asked to be born. You had me born. You created me. And Lord, this morning we tell you one more time that, Lord, thank you for bringing us to places where the odds were so stacked against us that there was no hope. Thank you for bringing us to the point of almost death, that we would trust not only in the God of healing, but in the God of the resurrection. That we believe that you're a God of resurrection, that you can take what the enemy meant for death and turn it around for life. Lord, we thank you. We repent of living in the past. We repent of letting our memories deceive us, that the good old days were really so good. But Lord, we believe that our best days are yet ahead, that you're going to do tremendous things in our life, that today is the day. Today we can do it. Today we can make a difference. Today, Lord, you can do it, that we strengthen today. We thank you for that. Oh, Lord, we repent of being so fearful and accusing you without ever saying it, that you really didn't come through, Lord. You really didn't do it right. It was 4-1. Now it's 400. God, you didn't come through. And Lord, our eyes, we turn our eyes upon you. And we tell you that we trust you. We tell you that we will boast in the Lord. And when it comes to pass, we will tell you, Lord, you and you alone has done this thing. Everybody say amen today. Give the Lord one more good clap offering. Come on. Turn around and give somebody a good hug today. Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Sunday. Mother's Day. 2 services, 9 and 11:15 next Sunday.